Welcome to Sidelines and Headlines with Jim Harden and Blake Giles. Thank you all for being with us. We're happy to be here. We'd just like to give you all a little preview of what we're going to be doing.
We're
going to be pretty much sports focused.
There you go. A lot of high school.
I think we both appreciate sports at the grassroots level, you know. We love college and we even like pro a little bit, but it's, you know, we want to focus on, I think there's nothing better than high school kids playing sports, especially football.
It's one of the purest levels of sports.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Absolutely. And just tell you a little bit about us. I'm a middle Georgia boy, grew up in down in Forsyth, Georgia, lived most of my adult life in Macon, graduated from First Presbyterian Day School down there in Macon, Georgia, played for a great coach, Mark Faraba, who actually came to Athens and was at Prince.
We are sitting in the Mark Faraba Center right now.
We're sitting in the Mark Faraba Fieldhouse, I guess it is.
Yeah.
And anyway, went on, actually had a cup of coffee at Auburn. Later on, I'll tell you some good Pat Dye stories.
Okay.
Like, my son says, told somebody one time, my dad played at Auburn. I said, no, your daddy stood on the sideline. And he said, well, you're a walk-on, weren't you? I said, yeah, I walked on and walked off. And transferred to a little school up in South Carolina, Presbyterian College. Actually, when I graduated, knew what I wanted to do when I grew up and still don't, but I actually coached a couple of years. I was on, I was down in Americus, Georgia, and then I was on Mike Gunn's first staff at Athens Academy. I coached middle school football over there.
Oh, that's great.
And so anyway.
Well, I wonder if I was on the sidelines ever when you were at Athens Academy.
Probably,
I would have been with the Banner Herald.
You probably had less gray hair back then.
I probably did. I started with the Banner Herald back in 69, right, just while I was still in college. And grew up here in the Athens area, never lived anywhere else. Why would you live anywhere else?
Well.
and was in the media business for most of my professional career with the Banner Herald. I've done some streaming video and play-by-play radio over the years, but this is my first foray into the world of podcasting.
But you're a professional media guy.
I'm
just a pretender. I'm having to follow your lead.
You're going to find that it doesn't take much to be a professional in the world of media. If you can move and flap your gums, you'll be just okay.
Well,
we do hope to entertain and enlighten about high school sports, college sports, particularly in the Athens area.
And we may talk about some other stuff.
There you go.
Here and there.
We're in our first episode today. We've got an interview with John Rick, the head coach at Prince Avenue, making his head coaching debut this year. We've got a little snippet of an interview from C.J. Dockery, a wide receiver from Prince Avenue, after their scrimmage game over at Athens Academy last week. And then we're just going to talk about some high school football.
That's what it's all about.
All right, good deal.
All right.
So stay with us and tell all your friends about us. If you find a link to this, forward it to everybody you know. If there's a place to subscribe, subscribe. If there's a place to like it. I'm so new to all this, I don't even know how to tell y'all to do all that stuff. But we'll figure it out, and you will too, and I hope you'll come along with us. All right, I'm Blake Giles and Jim Harbin, and we're joined by John Rick, the head coach of the Prince Avenue Christian School Wolverines. And I want to talk about the first time you and I had an encounter.
Don't you love getting the bell?
I know it.
Background?
I know it.
Yeah, school's still going.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the first time you and I had an encounter, and you will not remember this.
Okay, we'll find out.
It was in 2004.
There's a good chance I don't remember that.
The Thingathon.
Oh, gosh. I remember all the Thingathons.
Well, this was field day.
Oh, yeah.
I was with my daughter that day.
Okay.
And we were I was captain of a team. We beat David Pollock in a relay race.
As we should.
So I'm looking down. I said, okay, what are we doing today? I look and I think, oh, we're playing football. Who are we playing against? Mark Rick and John Rick. I'm thinking, what are the chances of this now? I'm playing against a former college quarterback and a future college quarterback in a pickup football game.
There you go.
You can imagine how it turned out.
Hopefully it went well for us.
You guys safely covered the point spread.
There you go.
Now, I'll tell you this. You probably don't remember this. One of my team members was Liz Kearley.
Oh, yeah.
Your future sister-in-law.
No doubt.
Was a good athlete.
She was. Very good.
But you guys safely covered the point spread that day.
We did. Yeah, I don't doubt that.
All right. Well, John, you're about to start your first season as a head coach, and you've had – you've coached at all levels. Talk a little bit about your coaching background.
Yeah, well, I've got the honor and privilege of coaching a lot of different places. You start off actually training guys for the NFL and the NFL Combine at D1 Sports Complex up in Nashville, Tennessee. End up coming back to Georgia, working for Dad as a quality control for Georgia, and then worked with Rex Ryan in Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills and was a quality control up there for him. Got to work with the O-line and tight ends there, which was huge developmentally for me, learning how to work with the big guys. But then got the opportunity to go back to Miami with Dad, be his quarterback coach from 2016 to 2018. And then was going to be done with coaching. Opened up my own D1 training facility here in Athens. It's still rolling, doing well, but Coach V found a way to sneak me out up onto the field, convinced me to help, and then all of a sudden I'm hired. I'm the strength coach, and I'm his offense coordinator for the past couple of years. So it's been an awesome ride.
You joined the program in 21, is that correct?
Yeah, it'd be Aaron's sophomore year.
So the year after they won their first state championship.
Yes, sir, after COVID.
All right. Have you been managing the offense since that time?
So Coach V called it the 2021 year. I helped. I was only here. I was a lay coach, so I was only here a couple days a week, and I'd show up on Fridays. But then the next year in 2022 is when I took over as the offensive coordinator.
Okay. Well, being the offensive coordinator for the last 3 years, I would not expect there to be a whole lot of difference in the way you guys run an offense. Is that correct?
Offensively, we should look pretty much the same. Still high pace, still high tempo, trying to find ways to get our guys in space and allow our boys to make plays. So a lot of the stuff hasn't changed for us, the way we do things. Honestly, the way we do things on defense are very similar as well. So it'll be fun to see how it all comes together.
Is it, I joke, you were Mark Richt's son for so many years, and then I told you this before, now you're Anna Richt's husband.
Yeah, no doubt.
She has got quite the social media presence and
she
everything.
She
does. You've been in a spotlight for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that spotlight, or you're used to it and it doesn't really matter?
The spotlight doesn't really bother me. It's more all the extra things you have to do as a head coach, from dealing with the washing machine breaking down this morning and, this guy forgets his, travel gear. He didn't get his travel gear ordered in time, so now I got to scramble and get that. So it's those type of things that you're having to deal with that are different. That you have to be able to, control, not control, whatever you can control, really prepare and make sure you're ready and help make sure the team's ready. So that's the overarching theme is taking on a few more of those responsibilities. Football's football. When we go out there, it wouldn't matter if there's a camera on or camera off. We're going to coach football, we're going to play football, and we're going to play to the best of our ability. So that stuff doesn't really bother me. It's more so the other stuff that you have to deal with that makes the job interesting.
So washing machines, I'm going to assume that's been a surprise to you.
I mean, I couldn't name them all. It's awesome how these young men are able to just every day find something new to create an opportunity for me to grow. Is all I'm taking it as is a way for me to grow. So they're awesome, but they do come up with some creative ways to make life interesting.
I remember last year at the, I think it was the Stevens County game, one of your key players left his jersey at home, and he had to wear an injured player's shirt, and every time he made a play, the PA system used the wrong guy's name.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's not the PA guy's fault. It's our knucklehead that left his jersey at home. So, those are the fun things that we're, trying to avoid for the most part, but some are unavoidable with 15, 14, really 13 through 18-year-olds. It kind of happens.
You and this guy have something in common.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yep. We both played for Mark Farabaugh.
No doubt.
It was his field house is named after, and he was a great influence on my life. I was on his very first team. Your senior year was his first year at Prince, right?
It was, that's correct.
Talk about some of your coaching influences people that actually coach you? Everybody wants to associate you with your dad. Who influenced you? I know Coach Faraba did. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other guys that influenced you as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, you got Coach Faraba, who stepped in and was my senior year, was the head coach here at Prince and really helped create that initial culture here at Prince. So it was fun to be here on the front end, be one of the building blocks that got built on. We didn't really, you know, we weren't very tall at the moment as far as, you know, being built up. But, you know, we were at the foundation, and we you know, hopefully did a good job laying that foundation with him and buying into the way that he wanted to do things. But then, you know, you go to college, you play for a guy like Tim Clifton at Mars Hill, who just retired the other day, and 31 years as the head coach at Mars Hill.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's from Macon, Georgia.
He is from Macon, Georgia. Yeah, so he's right down the road.
Coached
at Clark Central for a while, too. So he's been around. He's from this area, and this really was a guy who had a big impact on, you know, just how you run a program, because I was with him for 4 years at Mars Hill, getting to see the way he does things. And then you get to work for Dad. It's different than being, you know, his son. You get to see the way he does things on a daily basis, how he handles meetings, how he speaks to his coaches, how he relates to his players. But then you get to go to the NFL and you get the opportunity to see how professionals do things, right? It's a different tactic. It's a different mindset working with those type of athletes. You walk into a room and you're probably not the one making the most money, even though you're the coach, you know, so...
maybe that way in college these days.
I know.
I saw where your dad said Carson Beck paid more to go to Miami than he did.
Exactly. Well, very similar, except he got more money. But I mean, you have to learn how to communicate in a different way, right? How to coach a different way. These guys have been coached hard. They know how to be coached hard. But at the same time, you can communicate to them on a different level than you can communicate to a high school kid, right? But then you get the opportunity to go back, be your own position coach at Miami, and then also coming back here and learning from Coach V, because it's so different, high school to college to NFL. There's so many different levels to how you do things. And so being a head coach or a coach at every level gives you a lot of opportunity to pull and choose from all the different guys. And so, you know, I like to say that I'm a mashup of all those guys, and I'm blessed to have some great, great men in my life.
Well, you mentioned the money in college sports.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, things are different for the college coaches having to deal with all that. Is there a trickle-down effect to that? You got guys being recruited. I know it's just your first year, but how do you see that kind of – does it trickle down to the attitude of the kids about
– maybe at other places. That's where we're blessed here at Prince. We got great kids, great families, great people that know how to handle success. And that's one thing that we've built this culture on, and that's how we do things. And so we don't have a lot of that issue, but you definitely have that conversation with your kids when you've got a highly rated kid that's getting recruited. That's a part of the conversation, because unfortunately people put their money where they value people, right? So where the money is one of the conversations you have with the kids is like, okay, well, you know, This dollar here isn't worth the same dollar here, you know, but they gave you this much, they gave you this much. I mean, that tells you a little bit of who really loves you and who just wants you on their sideline, you know. And so, I mean, it's not necessarily an issue trickle down, but it is a conversation piece for us to try to help these kids understand where they need to go, what opportunities are real, what opportunities are just, you know, not quite as tangible.
Well, you—I know family's a big deal. Everybody wants to talk about your dad when they talk about you. But you know, when people talk about Eli and Peyton Manning, they assume everything flows down from Archie. But you know, Archie had a great wife, Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great wife. You had a great mom. Talk about your family. I know you're caring for a little. You had a little one that's sick today. Talk a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So I'm blessed to be surrounded by a great family. One, my wife wouldn't be able to do it without her. Period. She's the one that's holding everything down at home, getting everything done, and she is the one that I'm like, when I have something, I've got an issue at work and I need to talk through it, she's the one I'm talking through it with first. And it's amazing how, if you're willing to talk to your wife and how you're willing to confide in them, how smart they are.
Yeah, they're smarter than
I mean, it's crazy. And I mean, honestly, they're detached from the situation. They can look at it analytically with, you know, probably a smarter brain than ours. And so they see different angles. So you it's foolish not to take their advice and confide in them. But then you get, you know, you go to my mom, who's a great example for my wife of how to be a coach's wife. You know, she did it for forever and has done an awesome job raising us kids and supporting my dad. But then we've got an awesome family in that, like, most of our family lives here in Athens. We got a great contingent of family in Tallahassee, but we're always together. We're always surrounded, and we're really blessed to have a lot of support.
I know that's you awesome. Had a loss in your family this summer. Your mm-hmm. grandfather passed away.
That's right.
Hard to see that.
Yeah, Babalu passed away this summer. Lived a great life. Blessed a lot of people along the way. He would always say it's the best day of his life. Every day, hey Babalu, how you doing? It's the best day of my life. And that was something that he lived by, and that he, you know, really. I mean, until probably his last breath was something that he really portrayed in the way he did things.
Well, it's interesting you say that. That was kind of a little catchphrase for him. And, of mm-hmm. course, your dad came up with finish the drill.
Correct.
When he was here. Do you have a little motto or something you've attached to this team that to kind of, in a few words, encapsulate what you want?
We talk about different things. We read books throughout the summer, and we help the kids try to work through different situations. You know, you've got things that we talk about, but there hasn't been one thing that's mm-hmm. attached to this team yet. If there was one, it'd be, you know, we're reading through a book by Cameron Haynes, who's a, you know, all-world athlete as far as, you know, runs hundreds of miles, is one of the greatest bow hunters in the world. But his book is called Undeniable, and how do you become undeniable? So we're trying to talk to our kids about, like, guys, how do you become undeniable in what you do? How do you become undeniably the greatest? How do you become an outlier? You know, those type of things. And so, you know, we're trying to create that mindset and that understanding here. But, you know, there hasn't been anything that we've just attached to them. Now, we did have mat drills, and I did have them going through stuff in spring, and they killed it and did a great job. And we do all of that early in the morning in the dark. So one of our phrases that we've always said is win in the dark. You know, you need to win in the dark so that when the lights come on, you're ready to make the play. So fail in the dark, work in the dark, do all the stuff in the dark when nobody's looking. So when the lights come on, you're ready for your opportunities.
Well, the lights are going to come on right away. You're in the Corky Kell Classic, which is quite an honor for a program to be in the Corky Kell Classic. What do you – you looking ahead to the season
mm-hmm. –
I know you've got to be concerned about your offensive line. You've only got one starter back from last year. What do you see as the challenges for this team?
Well, I'm not concerned about them. I'm excited about them.
All right,
they're a group that, yes, they might not have the most experience, but they are not only most improved, but kind of underrated group that we've got, our line and D-line. Our boys have worked really, really hard in the offseason. They've created a culture that's been fun to watch. Coach Dollar and those guys have done a great job getting them ready. And, you know, it's going to be something that we're going to be excited to see them go full out for a full four quarters and see how people are able to handle them.
And, of course, I was over there to see you play the academy and the indoor scrimmage you had last week. You've got a couple of guys who've got some really strong legs on this football team.
We do. We got some kickers.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to kick in the end zone. You may be able to try. I think your senior, Zach Duke, mm-hmm. he may be good from over 50. I'm not sure he's accurate yet, but he's got the leg for it.
He was warming up over 50, so we're excited to have him and Joey Black this year as two guys that are really going to contribute in a lot of different ways. But it adds a new dimension to the way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that gives us a weapon on special teams. It's no longer a down that we have to just survive, right? We're trying to do things to be creative and attack people in the kicking game. And so that's one of the things that we've put a lot of emphasis on this off season, and something that I'm excited to see the boys come out and compete.
All right, you're a quarterback guy. You've been a quarterback, coached quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about your quarterbacks.
Yeah, I got two really good ones. Ben Musser coming back, played a lot last year, has really developed a lot this offseason. Got a lot of opportunity last year to get experience, and now he's kind of growing into the guy that we want him to be. As far as a passer, as far as a guy who can still hurt you with his legs, and really just functioning in our offense and the way we want to do things. But then you've got Gavin Hollum, the freshman, coming up, right? That's really talented, can rip the ball all over the place. It's still learning what to do, trying to figure life out a little bit as a freshman. But we're excited. We got two kids that can do it, and we're really proud of that group and excited to see those two guys lead.
All right. You told me you had some daddy duties this afternoon. You were going to try to do some fun things. Is that still on the horizon with
always.
The sickness? What you going to do this afternoon?
You know what? That throws a little monkey wrench in it, but we'll figure out something to do.
I know that finding family time is a challenge during the football season. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you have to make it a priority. If you don't make it a priority, then it's just going to fall to the wayside, just like anything, mm-hmm. right? Because you can get too busy, you can get focused, you can get zeroed in on one thing. But, I mean, ultimately, when you go home, you need to be home. Pastor Josh always says, work hard at work. Go home, work hard, go to bed tired, wake up, do it again, right? And so that's ultimately the goal is when you go home, you're at home. Your job is to be with your kids, be with your wife, and be really engaged when you get there. Don't just go home and check out. And that's something that, you know, my dad was a great example of. You know, as much as he could, he tried to keep his cell phone off around us and tried to really engage in what we were doing and what we had going on. So that's something that I try to do and really try to, you know, set that example for our kids.
You know, I just thought of something. Your dad used to always wear those big wide brim straw
yes.
hats.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that on you.
That's not my style. That is not my style. Coach, he still
he
doesn't like
Coach
it.
Bowden,
he did. He did that. Do that in Florida State.
Pastor Ricketts used to give him a new hat every year.
Every year he got a new hat from Pastor Ricketts. I'm still waiting on mine. You know, whatever. But no, no. I mean, ultimately that was him. You know, I'm a little bit in an age where the hat turns backwards pretty quick as soon as it goes on. You know, the colonel doesn't like it, my dad doesn't like it, they all don't like it, but if you're going to put me in a hat, it's going to end up going backwards. So colonel told me I'm not allowed to wear a hat first couple games so I can get a better picture to go on the side of the wall because he hates the one we got right now because it's got my hat backwards and I'm getting after it and all that kind of stuff. But he's like, coach, you're coaching good, but that hat, I can't really deal with that hat. But we'll have to get him a few pictures without the hat to start with.
There you go.
Okay, so it's obvious you got your priorities in order. It seems like sports has just become a year-round thing, no matter what sport. Mm-hmm. And man, I see some coaches just killing themselves. I know you do too. Y'all work mm-hmm. hard, but I appreciate your perspective. I know you're trying to mentor these guys and help them in ways other than just on the football field. So I hope you have a great year, man. We'll be checking you out.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck to you this year, John. And maybe we'll catch up with you somewhere down the line after we've played a few games.
That sounds great.
All right. That's John Rick, Prince Avenue head football coach, right here on Headlines and Sidelines. Or Sidelines and Headlines. Hey, we're all new at this.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. All right. Thanks, John.
Yes, sir.
Got a quick interview time. Mm-hmm. So in those jump ball situations, is there a strategy or are you just athleticism? How do you think about those kind of plays?
I most of the time really just got a timer jump and know when to jump and how to go up and get the ball.
But now down there when they threw to Keon, yeah. What happened on that play?
Ball went right through my hands, bounced up, and fell in his lap.
That's got to be frustrating.
It was very frustrating.
All right, but then over here now, it looked like you reached over the guy to make the catch. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then down here, it went between two guys, and you made a one-handed grab.
Yes, sir.
I told him that was an ESPN Sports Center moment. What do you think?
I'd say so.
So, all things considered, this first scrimmage game, what was your assessment?
I think we did good. Not enough. We had good effort, not a good execution. We still got a lot of things to work on and get prepared for Cali next Wednesday.
All right, good deal. Thanks a lot, CJ. Hey, we're back, and, hey, it's high school football is starting up. I've already been to two games,
Amazing.
And they didn't really even count, but it was a good –
They start early now.
I know. Gosh, what, When I was in school, we didn't even start school till September.
Yeah.
And now everything starts early August. And, you know, they want to get done. They play more games. They have more off weeks. They've got a longer playoff season. I'm thinking when I was in high school, playoffs were like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You maybe played an opening round, a semifinal game, and a final. Now you could play five games extra in the playoffs.
So. It's a marathon. And those teams and those coaches that are used to being playoff teams, it's an advantage because there's an art to managing all that stuff and getting to the finish line if you got a, you know, your playoff team especially.
And as you mentioned with Coach Rick, it is a year-round sport now. I mean, these guys, they're going to these 707 camps
That's
all
crazy.
Summer. And they even have contact camps in the summer now. So football, if you want to be a serious football player, it doesn't take a break.
It's a serious time.
It is, it is. Well, I did get to go to two games. I saw the Athens Academy Prince Avenue scrimmage over at the Georgia indoor facility. They moved it there because of soggy field conditions over at Athens Academy when we had that bit of rain that came through there. And I'm convinced both those guys' teams are going to have good seasons again this year.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Academy was 10-0 in the regular season last year. Got a new quarterback. He's a lefty. He's fine. They got a good running back in Prince, and then have Keon Stanifer, who was listed as one of the top 10 athletes in the state of Georgia. And I told Josh Alexander, you're a good coach when you get the ball in Keon's hands. He agreed.
Well, Josh is an excellent coach. We got a lot of good coaches in the area. Of course, mm-hmm. Coach Rick and Coach Perno. Maybe we can get some of those guys.
I hope we'll get to catch up with all those
that's
guys.
Right.
Of course, one of them you didn't mention was Tyler Arndt, who
that's
just
right.
last year won the first state championship over at North Oconee High School. Did you see any of their games last year?
I watched. I didn't see them live, but I saw them on tape.
Mm-hmm.
They were good.
Yeah. Well, they've got one of the top Super 11 players in the state, in Kamari Brooks.
That's right.
Who is the linebacker who has committed to Georgia. Of course, in high school, he plays on offense, too. I guess he's a tight end, a halfback. I'm not sure what he plays.
Yeah, I think they play fullback a little
flex
bit.
Flex back, yeah. But
nobody has a fullback anymore, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Back.
Yeah, he's quite an athlete, and that was a great recruiting coup for Georgia. To get him, and he's back again. And they did lose Landon Roldan, the wide receiver who's over at Georgia now, but they do have Buster Faulkner's son.
That's right.
Who's the quarterback, and he's one of the top ones in the state. And so I'm looking for them to have people are saying a repeat.
When you talk about Athens being a great place to live. A lot of people want to live out there in Oconee County, and it's like you see a little bit glimpses of what's going on out there, kind of like you did in the North Gwinnett and the Buford, kind of all that those Gwinnett schools. Is it kind of Atlanta kind of moved that way?
Of course, Oconee made the playoffs last year too, and did not go as far as they had hoped. And they've got a big rebuilding program, from what I've seen. I did get to see them play. They played Habersham Central.
Right. Yep.
In a scrimmage game, and I was there because my grandson is a backup linebacker for the Habersham Central squad.
On the other side, your daughter is a coach at Habersham.
She's the head coach, volleyball coach
volleyball
at
coach.
Madison County.
Madison County, I'm sorry.
And they've won three of the first four matches. They did lose to Loganville Christian the other day, but they're off to a good start. And I think she's going to have a decent year. I'm excited for her. But Oconee, they must have had seven turnovers in that game with Habersham Central, so they lost by a big margin. Nobody's going to win with seven turnovers.
That's right.
I don't care how good you are.
What I was saying earlier about the demographics, I mean, they're people. They're going. You know, they may be in a little bit of rebuilding phase, whatever, but they'll mm-hmm. be fine. It's a priority now in Oconee County, and people love it. The kids want to play. They want to be good. I mean, they will be good.
Yep, they sure will be. And, of course, you look at the programs you got in Oconee, North Oconee, Oconee County, Athens Academy, Prince Avenue Christian, all of those are winning programs. In fact, if you look at the North Oconee district, the way that Georgia High School Association counts enrollment, Prince Avenue is considered to be in the North Oconee district. Prince Avenue right now has more wins than any other high school in the state since 2020. And North Oconee is way up there. And they probably, the research I've done, may be the winningest school district in the state. I don't know who else. Roswell High School with Fellowship Christian up there might be another one that would be up there, but they're not as high. So,
well, that's what I mean. They got a lot of bodies. And they got a lot of a good mm-hmm. culture. These daddies are getting these boys started early, and you know, all the programs should be strong.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, the other big game this weekend was the Clark Central Cedar Shoals game, and they're coming at it from two different perspectives right now. Cedar Shoals really, really had a tough time last year, 0-10, and they made a change, and they've got a new head coach in from out of South Carolina, and he has a good record over there, but he's got an uphill climb, and how he does against that first week against Clark Central is not going to tell the whole story. That's almost like, that's just almost an impossible task to win that first game right there. But hopefully he can get the culture, you mentioned that, reestablished over there. It's been bad at Cedar Shoals for a while, and hopefully he's got to get it turned around.
Well, they've gone through periods where they've been very good, and they have athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing that Perno, what's his 10th year?
10th year for David Perno over at Clark Central. Clark Central.
You know, you and I were talking. When I think about that maroon and gold, I think about Coach Billy Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
Who obviously Perno played for him and is now crazy. Sounds crazy. He's been there as long as he has. But that program is, you know, I like them. I like where they mm-hmm. where they are. I think they're they got potential to make some noise. I mean, they just seem like they've been a little bit – they won the region last year, I think,
right? They did. They've got to replace their quarterback. He's over at Georgia now.
That's right.
So they've got to replace their quarterback. But they got that defensive lineman, A.J. Anthony Lonan, who's not only big and strong and fast, he's absolutely brilliant.
Delicate.
He got all the genes. I don't know how he did it, but he's like the president of the student body, and – it could be the valedictorian. Were you the valedictorian?
I'm sorry, I was not.
I was not either.
Don't tell anybody.
I was number 60, I think, or something. Something like that.
60 out of, don't say how many.
Yeah, sorry, that's okay. It was far, it's down the list. But I remember Perno, of course. I remember him playing for Clark Central. And then, of course, he went on and got established with the Georgia baseball program. And in fact, I think it's still true. The Georgia baseball team has never been to the College World Series without a Perno connected to the team. Because the first time they went in 87, his brother Don was on the team. The next time they went in 90 won the national championship, David was on the team. And then the other times they went, he was either an assistant coach or the head coach. So I hope that process gets ended eventually because I really like what Wes Johnson is doing with the baseball Bulldogs, and they've come close the last couple of years, but that'd be great for them to get back. But I always thought he was a baseball coach with a football mentality, Perno. He just, that's the way he conducts himself.
It's interesting that his background, you know, he coached, head baseball coach, and now he's doing what he's doing. And you know, not to dwell too much on the Clark Central history, we had another famous gladiator, Derek Dooley, declared he was running for Senate. And I guess he and Perno were probably classmates, weren't they? Didn't they win the state title in 85? I think they're my age.
That's very close. Derek may be a little bit older than Perno. I'm not sure of the exact age range and everything there. So we can look for Barbara Dooley to be making some ads very soon. Vote for Derek.
That's right. I heard Derek's got the Brian Kemp family behind him, and so I'm sure he's going to be Athens contingency.
Well, I wish him well, and I don't think we're going to get too much into politics here, but I hope he does well in the race and everything. So,
well.
What else do we want to talk about, Jim?
Well, I think we've got that disease. We could talk all day, but I'm not sure how many people want to listen. I know people want to listen. Hopefully, we talk about high school football, but We got about two more weeks to go before college football. We'll talk about that. That first weekend is going to be very interesting. We'll talk about that next week, maybe on our next episode.
Have you been keeping up with Georgia practice at all?
A little bit. I just read the snippets.
Yeah, that's all. You know, I don't have any insight. I can't get into practice anymore. And really, I've seen enough practices over the years. I don't really care. But it's going to be interesting this year as to how Georgia does. If you look back, last year they were inconsistent offensively because the running game was below average. The receivers dropped footballs. And going into this year, now they've got to replace an offensive line. A lot of questions about that team.
There are. I think they'll be good. I think everybody agrees on that. I think, and we can talk about this more, you know, in the future. But you know, everybody's talking about the quarterback situation. I think, personally, I think Stockton's great. Apparently, a great kid, a great player, but. You know, sometimes there's a very small margin for error now in today's football. You know, Dabo Sweeney was a lot better coach at Clemson when he had Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
And as great a coach as Nick Saban was, I feel like he was a little bit lucky, and he just had a string of quarterbacks that just were very good. Probably not a lot he did other than recruit them and get them in there. So my point is, if for some reason – Georgia don't get the quarterback play they've been used to pretty much since Kirby came. If it falls off a little bit, like you said, the offensive line questions, you just wonder, you know, if it slides just a little bit, what the impact will be, because they got a tough schedule every year. So,
all right, good deal. Well, we want folks to tune in and to listen and spread the word, and we're going to send out some ways you can contact us through email, and we'll let you know about that as we advance. This is the ground floor, literally, right now, of our podcast and everything. So I hope we look back at this one day and laugh at ourselves.
smile, because it was so good.
There you go.
Well, thank you all for joining us.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you next week.